Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Thank you so much for telling me the sound is good. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda, and broadcasting from almost 80 degrees here in Oceanside, California. Blue skies, sunny, it's perfect. It's just absolutely amazing. So I don't know why my chat room is way down on the bottom of some of the soundboard, but so I'll have to keep going back and forth to see if there's any callers, but I definitely want to... Yeah, don't worry, I'm going to get into the water shortage. We have no water, so that's not good. And I also want to talk about my meeting last night, which was an amazing situation. I think that people even here in Libtard, California, are finally wising up. I'm going to get into that a little bit later. They did the right thing yesterday. They voted for Kevin Faulkner for the mayor of San Diego. You will remember that Filthy Filner got kicked out, and he's getting some fines, and probably he didn't have to do any jail time, but he's in a lot of trouble. So the new guy is a Republican. He's conservative, and he beat the big union guy who was like David Alvarez, 33 years old, had $4 million put behind him by the big unions, and he still lost. So that was awesome. Yay for San Diego. Finally, people are waking up, and I got more on that later. But I want to start out with a little scripture just to keep everything into perspective, because I need this today with everything that's going on. When you hear about my meeting yesterday, you'll understand why. It was amazing, though. And I wanted to start with one of my favorites would be John 3:16. And that would be, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I wanted to go also, because our country is slowly but surely waking up, I want to go into 2 Chronicles. That would be 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Something to think about. Get on your knees, guys. I know. So you got good weather in Arizona. Situation. Yeah, I live in a desert, so don't be too happy about this great weather. And I was getting ready to do this last week, and then Ken called in early, so I wanted to give you a rundown of some of this stuff that's happening. And a lot of... this is all tied into when they're dealing with these metropolitan water districts and the San Diego Water District and the Sandag for transportation. This is all Agenda 21. This is crazy. It says, if water delivery is axed, if drought persists, the California state warns it will cut off distribution for the first time. And from Sacramento, in an unprecedented move, state water officials Friday announced they will be forced to turn off the tap to hundreds of farms and cities this year unless snow-packing storms arrive in the coming weeks to wash away a stubborn drought. However, most water agencies are planning to use reserves and other sources to help keep at least minimal amounts flowing. In Southern California, available supplies are sufficient to prevent rationing just for now. The state also issued an emergency directive to slow down releases from reservoirs along its major northern rivers, a rare step that will save water for next year, but also provides bare minimum protections for water quality and fish. Oh, yeah, the stupid fish. And the state ordered 5,800 mostly small farms to stop independently taking irrigation water from the streams and rivers. Like, what are they going to use? Bottled water. Other farmers in Northern California with long-standing legal rights to water will see their allocations in half. I just want to also welcome everybody, Ron, Rod, Guest, and Yo. And we are brought to us by PatriotFamilies.com, and we are getting ready to go to Delaney soon, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, I'm going to finish this deal. Today's action, a stark reminder that California's drought is real. This is quoting Governor Jerry Brown. In a statement, we are taking every possible step to prepare the state for the continuing dry conditions we face. He's such a schmendrick. If the draconian cut stays in place, it will be painful for Southern California and the San Diego region, not immediately, but certainly longer term. Contrast zero to these amounts, the state sent 872,000 acre-feet, enough for 1.7 million homes for a year, to the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California in 2013. That was a dry year as well. Metropolitan received 1.2 million acre-feet in 2012, according to the Department of Water Resources figures. So San Diego County Water Authority is one of the Metropolitan's largest customers. It is not a final allocation, and late winter storms could ultimately lead to an increase in water deliveries. So this is what they're talking about. It says, in Folsom Lake, this guy walks his dog recently down a boat ramp that is now several hundred yards away from the water's edge. The state announced Friday that the water deliveries will be cut to preserve the water supply. So this is kind of a problem. And I want to go into this other article that was really important on this issue. It says, California is in a severe drought as the rainy season never came this year, with 17 towns in the state in such dire straits that they may run out of water within 2 months. Emergency measures are being taken to avoid drought ghost towns. Even without the current crisis, California already faced a government-imposed dust bowl due to the Endangered Species Act requirements that fresh water be flushed. Listen to this. Requirements that fresh water be flushed out to sea in an unproven hope that this would help save the endangered Delta smelt, which I do believe, hi Cal, welcome, is a big hoax and lie along with Agenda 21. We're going to really get into that in a minute. This diversion of what longtime Californians consider their most precious resource has already choked large portions of the state's agricultural salad bowl, which is the Central Valley, and this has been going on for at least 3 to 4 years that I can remember. Now with the drought worsening and snowpacks in the Sierra Nevada range at critically low levels, it is time to put partisan wrangling aside and pass legislation that stops the waste of water while still protecting the fish. They don't need to protect the fish. That's a hoax. The House of Representatives is likely to consider H.R. This is all the way to Washington, these idiots, because they're the ones who caused this mess in the Delta smelt region. H.R. 3964 in the next 2 weeks, which accomplishes this very feat. By focusing upon allowing fishermen unlimited tasks of natural predators of the endangered smelt, the endangered fish should thrive. Yeah, right. Allowing the life-giving freshwater that is currently being wasted, they're just putting it out in the ocean, to be returned to the hundreds of miles of aqueducts that feed the irrigation systems in the state's fertile San Joaquin Valley. Can you imagine anybody in the time of the 1700s doing any of this? Putting fresh water out in an ocean? Oh, my God. But this is not just a common sense issue. And I'm just checking to see for callers because I have to go back up and forth. It is also a life-saving one, as small Central Valley agricultural towns have suffered with unemployment rates above 40% due to the lack of water to grow crops. This has been going on, like I said, for several years. Rebecca, a Central California native, reported in netrightdaily.com on this issue last year, writing, agricultural production in the Central Valley of California accounts for $26 billion in total sales and 38% of the valley's labor force, which is huge. Farmers in this area grow more than half the nation's vegetables, fruits, and nuts. And that's where we get part of it, except outside of San Francisco, the other fruits and nuts. In fact, if you buy domestic artichokes, pistachios, walnuts, or almonds, there is about a 99% chance that they were all grown in California. But in order for these products to grow, the Central Valley needs water. And the past few years, the government has been withholding that vital resource. Much of California's water is pumped from the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta to the federally owned Central Valley Project, and the California State Water Project to understand the size, scope, and capacity of these water systems. With California boasting a population of roughly, get this, 37 million people, these two projects deliver water to more than 27 million people. The Central Valley Project alone provides water to more than 600 family-owned farms, which produce more than 60 high-quality commercial food and fiber crops sold for the fresh, dry, canned, and frozen food markets. Without congressional action to allow the water to return to irrigate the crops, the current drought puts the agricultural infrastructure in California at risk. The consequences of – oh, cool. Hi, Travis. The consequences of Washington, D.C. failing to pass legislation to stop dumping the state's water into the Pacific Ocean will affect both the coast both the cost and the availability for consumers around the nation of the food that will not be produced. And that's one of the reasons for this high cost of food around the nation, folks, not just the inflation caused by the other idiotic things they do. Now is the time to act before this water crisis becomes catastrophic for those who lose their jobs working on farms and for those who consume the foods that they produce. It is time for the environmental lobby that has blocked similar measures in the past to embrace the taking of the Delta smelt predators and allow the water to flow around the state. The House of Reps is expected to take the necessary steps to throw a lifeline to California. I'm not holding my breath. With two senators from the San Francisco Bay Area, who knows if they will tell their cocktail party environmentalist friends to stop obstructing this needed water bill, or if instead they will tell the rest of the state to pound sand. That sounds like Barbara Boxer and Frankenstein. That's what they'll do. The choice seems obvious, but they are San Francisco Bay Area liberals, so who knows what they might do. So that's what we deal with here, and that's why I said what I said to this one person, whom I will get into in a second. If you want to call in, Travis, anybody can call in. I just want to get through some of this stuff because I need you guys to know this stuff. And I want to go through the what I found out about the Obamacare stuff that was printed up by Ken a couple of weeks ago. All right, let's go to yesterday when I was on the show speaking as I was driving to this meeting, and it was this is part of – let me get the information. I actually emailed this clown because I'll tell you where he's at. This is the Oceanside Coast Highway Corridor Study. This is all Agenda 21, and they're talking about walking, biking, complete streets, roundabouts, traffic calming, and all this great landscaping they want to do like they do in Europe. And let me tell you, I walked in there and I was livid. This is one of those predetermined Delphi-style stakeholder meetings, completely contrived, well-funded, believe me, with all their glossy four-part color printed stuff, I mean, all over the place. And all the questions that they were asking us to vote on were also predetermined for the outcome because they didn't give you, and we were complaining, all of us were complaining, that you didn't have none of the above on your list to vote for. So they actually did it on one, but all the rest they refused to do it because they wanted everybody, once you answer these questions, and then even if you don't vote, that means the other people who do vote, it just cancels your whole deal out. It was horrible. So what they're trying to do, here's one, improving pedestrian and bicycle infrastructure with a focus on safety and comfort. Yeah, right. Enhancing access to transit, which they're talking about the Sprinter and all these light rail things. Modifying the roadway with improvements such as roundabouts to improve traffic flow, which is a lie. Absolute lie. Everybody who has them in their towns hates them. They slow the traffic down, and I'm going to get into that in a minute because I have studies on that for the CO2. Improving parking access to businesses along the corridor, another lie, because they're going to take all the street parking off and make these have other lands taken, and they'll have parking, but it won't be free, believe me. Encouraging economic development through improvements in mobility and the public streetscape. They call it streetscape. Like, it's sickening. So all of this stuff is contrived, and it's all about Agenda 21. So here's what happened. I got there a little bit early, so I walked in, and I'm looking at this with all these tables and all these guys in suits. And the one I did recognize, and his name is, I think it's J. Abrams. Anyway, I don't remember if it's James or whatever, but I emailed him today because all his contact information is on one of these little handouts, expensive handouts. So I told him what I thought. He was also one of the facilitators, and they had all these comment sheets on all this stuff like walking, biking, driving, transit. How do you want to see this happen? Traffic calming, all this nonsense. So each one I put my 2 cents in. And, of course, there was so many libtards there in the beginning. It was very, very disgusting. But I said, I don't want roundabouts. It causes the slowdown of traffic, and that way you emit more CO2. If that's your goal, then this is crazy. So I also put down, please stop the lies. This is Agenda 21, and I don't like fascism. I like freedom. And I put my comments also on a separate page. I explained to them, I know who you people are, and I know what you're trying to do, and I don't like it, and I'm going to fight you. And that's what I told this guy today. I said, I know you're part of ICLEI. He was one of the first ones I ran up against with this central planning stuff at City Council when I was speaking, and a couple of my other people on the Anti-Agenda 21 group were there, and they were watching his face because I knew he was ICLEI. He was speaking as part of this general plan, you know, author of all this nonsense way back when. And she said, my girlfriend Linda Phillips, she said, you should have seen his face when you started talking about ICLEI. And I said, oh, good. I hope he's upset because he hasn't seen the last of me. But anyway, which is true, because we were all just, everybody was upset, and he was not a happy camper, and neither were the other facilitators, and I'm glad. So it's interesting. So what I did so that I could tell these people, and I did this, I took this information and highlighted it, and I'm going to go through this entire thing because this is worth it, you guys. This is what SANDAG is. It's San Diego and Associated Governments is what it is. It's another one of those public-private partnerships and NGO, evil stuff, all A21 nonsense. So as I'm waiting for this meeting to start, I'm seeing my friends. Polly, whom I thought, and I hadn't seen her for about a year and a half when we were doing canvassing neighborhoods so we could get our Prop E defeated. And she was kind of leaning left at that time. This girl has woken up, let me tell you. She understands, because I was showing her this stuff in SANDAG, telling them what this stuff is. And I said, look around you and look at these expensive brochures and all this stuff that's going on. She says, who do you think's paying for this? And she says, you know what? I asked that one guy, and I pointed out the one that I thought was from ICLEI, and she says, no, it was a different one, but he got real quiet. He wouldn't tell me because she asked him what the name of the company was. And I said, yeah, he's not going to tell you. It's ICLEI, I'll bet you. And I explained that to her. So, and then I showed her this thing, and she said, oh, my God, because I prefaced it by saying, hi, Mike, welcome to the show. Prefaced it by saying that I don't have my tinfoil hat on, because she and I had discussions before on that, you know, that this Agenda 21 and these elitists want to depopulate the earth. They have many conspiracy programs to do so. And so she thought I was crazy. I used to send her links all the time on this stuff. And then she would send things back to me. And she says, well, it looks interesting. She says, but I just don't want to believe that there are these people out there that want to do this to a vast number of actual people. And I said, Polly, I don't either, but this seems to be what's going on. And so miracle of miracles, this girl has turned around because she knows how much I read. And I showed her this. I said, this came right off SANDAG's own website. It's called The Steps in the SANDAG Activity-Based Model. Now, this is what they're writing. This is their own garbage. Because the personal travel decisions of over 3 million San Diego residents are complex, the activity-based model is comprised of numerous interacting components or steps. The first step is to build a representative population that looks like the real San Diego. Once a representative population is created, the model predicts long-term and medium-term decisions such as a choice of work location. Oh, really? And a household's choice of the number of cars to own. Next, each person's day is scheduled, taking into account the priority of various activities. Once all these journeys to and from home have been scheduled, the model predicts specific travel details, such as mode and the number of stops to make. The final step of the ABM or activity-based model is traffic assignment. Oh, how nice. They're going to tell us what we can do and can't do. Step 1, build a representative population that looks like the real San Diego. The first step is to create a synthetic population of San Diego County. A synthetic population is a table that has a record for every individual and household, with the individuals and the household's characteristics. Nice. For example, if there are 40,000 18-year-old males in the region, there would be 40,000 records in the table for males age 18, with each record also having other characteristics such as school enrollment and labor force participation status. Isn't that nice? Taken as a whole, this synthetic population represents the decision makers whose travel choices the ABM will simulate in later steps. For each simulation year, a full population is synthesized to match the forecasted socioeconomic and housing characteristics of each part of the region at the zonal level. These forecasts, a key ABM input, came from the land use model, PECAS, and I don't know what PECAS is, something California. Synthesis works by replicating a sample of census records, each containing complete household and individual characteristics. That's why they were asking all those questions, ladies and gentlemen, and placing them around the region in such a way that the forecasted characteristics of each zone are matched. Step 2, assign a work location to workers and a school location to students. Oh, I guess we don't have freedom of choice on anything, do we? And I'm going to pick up this caller. And this is area code 307. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, who do we have?
This is Travis.
Well, good. Are you just listening in, sir?
Yeah, I'm guest 3417. It's not letting me sign in to chat.
Okay, so you can hear everything fine, and I understand that, but you can hear everything. And if you want to chime in, go ahead, let me know, kind of. And I'm just going to go back down here to see what's being written and stuff, but I want to get to this thing. So here's this deal. Step 2, assign a work location to workers and a school location to students. The second step predicts where each individual will go to work or school, if applicable. The model simulates each worker's choice of work location, taking into account many factors, including ease of travel and the number of employees by occupation type in each location. The model also simulates each student's choice of school, taking into account factors that include the distance from home to school, school enrollment, and district boundaries. The results from this step affect later travel choices significantly because of the prominent role that workplace and school usually play in the itinerary of workers and students. You think? Step 3, determine certain mobility characteristics of individuals and households. This step predicts the number of automobiles each household owns, whether each household owns a toll transponder, which is for toll roads, and whether worker parking costs are employer reimbursed, like it's none of their dang business. The model assigns each household 0 cars, 1 car, 2 cars, or 3 or more cars, taking into account a number of criteria, including household size, income, and how easy it is to reach destinations from the household's place of residence. How nice. This step sets certain mobility characteristics that influence how people travel. Okay. Step 4, the scheduling of the day. The fourth step begins by predicting a daily activity pattern for each individual. A daily activity pattern is a theme that overarches an individual's schedule. A mandatory pattern means that an individual travels to work and or school and then schedules other activities around work, school. And at-home pattern means that individual's daily schedule involves no travel in the region. Nice. A non-mandatory pattern means that an individual's daily schedule involves traveling, but only to destinations other than work or school. And an individual's daily pattern type is influenced by the pattern type of other household members. For example, if a child stays home from school, a working parent might be more likely to stay home from work as well. Once an individual's daily activity pattern has been selected, the model schedules the tours or the trips that he or she will take. Schedules them. Recall that it's tour is a journey that begins and ends at home, and it can include stops at other destinations on the way, you know, like for pizza, or to and from the primary destination. The activity-based model deals with three main categories of tours: mandatory tours, joint tours, and non-mandatory tours. Mandatory tours have work or school as the primary destination. Joint tours involve out-of-home activities that multiple members of a household partake in together. Non-mandatory tours involve purposes other than work or school that an individual undertakes independent of other members of his or her household. The model schedules for each tour type, predicting how many tours of that type there are, who will participate in the tour, and where the main destination is, and listen to this, when to depart and when to arrive. Oh, how nice of them. For individuals assigned a mandatory activity pattern, the ABM first assigns the number of work tours and or school tours they will make. After the number of these mandatory tours has been determined, the model selects the time of departure from and arrival back home for each tour. After mandatory tours have been scheduled, the time remaining for other tours is calculated. Remaining intervals of time are called residual time windows. Residual time windows, and other tours can only be scheduled in these windows. In the time remaining after mandatory tours are scheduled, the model determines the number of joint tours to be made for each household. Joint tours can only be scheduled in the time windows that overlap between individuals after mandatory activities are accounted for. After the number and purposes of these joint tours has been determined, the model decides which household members will participate in each joint tour and whether the joint tour must involve a combination of children and adults. Oh, my God. The model then chooses a specific destination for the tour and the specific times when tour participants will depart from and arrive back home together. Next, there's more. Non-mandatory tours are scheduled. For each household, the model decides what other tours need to be made for the purpose of household maintenance activities such as shopping. These tours are assigned to specific household members to carry out individually. For the person who is assigned each maintenance tour, the model, not you, selects a specific destination and schedules a tour to take place in a time window that mandatory tours and joint tours have left open. Finally, in what time remains, the model decides whether each individual will take non-mandatory discretionary tours, these low-priority tours, and you hear this? These low-priority tours involve activities related to recreation, eating out, and social functions. Discretionary tours can only take place in a time window that remain after all other tours have been scheduled. The model chooses a specific destination and departure-arrival combination for each discretionary tour a person makes. Number 5. Make tour and trip level decisions. The ABM then selects more detailed characteristics of each tour for every traveler. This step fills in travel details after the major aspects of the day have been scheduled. Tour characteristics that need to be determined include primary mode of the tour, how many times to stop, where to stop, and when to depart from each stop to continue the tour. Available modes are shown in Figure 7, which is not here, but after tour characteristics are set, the model determines the mode of each trip conditional upon tour mode. Recall that trips are segments of tours that have been given a origin and destination. If the trip mode involves an automobile and the destination is a parking-constrained area, then the model chooses a parking location for the traveler at the trip destination. This is the last one, thank God. Step 6, aggregating and assigning trips. The previous step provided travel details for each person down to the trip level. In this final step, the model sums all trips taken by individuals in San Diego County, along with trips generated by other models that represent special categories of travel within the region that are not covered by the this base model. The model then arranges aggregated trip data into a zone-to-zone matrix, like that one, zone-to-zone matrix, and assigns trips to the transportation network in the same fashion as in the four-step model. See this one, another figure. Output is used to calculate measures of performance and impact. isn't that special? I want to know what you think about that, Travis.
This is insane. This whole Agenda 21 thing.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know.
The first thing I think of is communist China. The only thing they've left out is telling us how many children we can have.
Oh, that's next. Yes. Yeah. I'm just going to put the number up here. Keep talking. 378. If you guys want to call in. Go ahead.
I was on conservapedia.com today. I was looking up, the Communist Party. I was looking at CPUSA, and they had a bunch of Polish immigrant members of it, and I don't know, they weren't happy about CPUSA's support of Hitler, right? So a lot of them moved to Canada. Then a lot of them wound up moving to Russia. Guess what happened to them there?
Oh yeah,
they got all executed.
People have no idea how bad Putin actually is. You guys, if you can get into the Blaze TV and check out a couple, I think it was Monday and possibly last week, I can't remember, but probably Monday and Tuesday, where Glenn was excoriating the whole thing on NBC with the opening ceremonies and Russia and all this stuff with their sickle and hammer nonsense. Yeah, he pretty much has Putin nailed. Cal Living says, we must turn from a blue state to a red state. Not even a purple state will save us. I know. It's pretty bad. But you know what? I went through this meeting. There was at least five people. I showed that, what I read to you guys. Okay? I have highlighted on the steps and the highlighted portions, such as how many cars or no cars you get to have and all this stuff and where the heck you can go and what time and all the rest of it and how horrible this is. Well, some of the people were just dyed-in-the-wool, Marxists, the first group. And I, this one idiot says to me, if I had had my wits about me, but I was shaking because I was so upset with this whole setup with this,
It's easy to get that way.
The Delphi techniques and all this stuff, because I was shaking when I was writing my comments because I was ticked off because I thought, okay, I better calm down before I start talking about this stuff. And but I was calm with him, but I explained to him, I says, well, go to Sandag, look at this, what they're trying to do, to tell you where, when, how many cars and all this stuff. They want you out of your cars. And he says, oh, they can't do that. We don't live in a communist country. And I looked at him and I just turned away because I forgot to the quote. I think it was from Goth. I don't know how to spell it right now because I'm not really into that right this second. There are none so hopelessly enslaved as those who think they are truly free. Or paraphrasing. I wish I had thought of that at that time, because that's exactly what I would have said to that moron. And then I saw, Linda Walsh, I was there. A lot of people were there. We had a lot of libtards and city council members there. They're all in on this nonsense. I was educating people. I was showing everybody this, and they were looking at this going, where did you get this? And I said, right off Sandag's website. Go check it out for yourself. They were appalled. They were now on my side. Polly was like all in, which was great because it was like this spiritual awakening. Again, these people are waking up on their own. And I was like super happy about it because I'm like, well, it gives me hope, even though there was a huge bunch of them there voting the wrong way and they don't understand. They've got their heads so far buried. It is very sad. So that's kind of where that meeting was. And then, of course, I got into a fight with Mike Bullock, who's a total communist. I've gone round and round with him on this Agenda 21 before, and he came up mocking me because he opened the door to this, and he was mocking me and says, well, you think this global warming's a big farce? And I said, of course it is, or fraudulent. And I said, yeah. I said, the only global warming, I said, is coming out of Al Gore's mouth in the form of hot air. And he didn't know what to say to that. And I kept telling him, I said, CO2 is normal. I actually emailed, I haven't got anything back, but I emailed him when I got home the information on the opposite side of what he's been brainwashed to think, which is go green with CO2 and other facts that we all know to be true. You can't get through to this guy, and he's doing all the Saul Alinsky stuff. I mean, he's targeting me, he's vilifying me, he's mocking me in public. And I said, you're being lied to. I said, there's no human caused problems with the climate change since they've changed it. I said, you don't know anything about Agenda 21. I said, the stuff is evil. They want you out of your cars because he thinks that's just perfectly fine. And I said, well, that's fascistic because I like freedom of choice, and it seems to me like you don't because all you want to do – yeah, and he didn't know what to say to that. And I said, I live in this blue state. I says, I can hardly wait to get the hell out of it. I says, I can't stand it here. And he says, he's being funny. He says, oh, Jerry Brown's like some fascist. I says, you're damn right he is. He's more like Mussolini than anybody else. And I says, just like his evil father was, you know, before him as governor. And he shut up because I would have kept going because I don't play nice with him because he doesn't play nice with me. So, you know, if he wanted to actually talk about things and look at what I had in my folder, I'm trying to explain to him, this is off you guys' website, the ones you are all in on, all happy about. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know. It's unbelievable. So he doesn't want to have a real debate. He just wants to vilify me. So I gave it back as good as I got, believe me. But there was a lot of people who were waking up to what I was showing them because I thought, I have to get this out to these people. They really, really need to see this. Because, I mean, I read you guys the whole thing. They just went through the highlighted parts, and they were already appalled by that. So it was awesome. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the show. I want to do a little bit on this that I got, and this is like several pages long, very, very well put together. It's done by, they're called, MSP Industry Alert, and they are, let me get this, it's an industry alert market analysis, and it's published 3 times a year by the Medical Strategic Planning, Inc., somewhere in New Jersey. Anyway, so this is talking about all these things, and it says the introduction, in this issue we explore Obamacare, its impact both on the insured and uninsured Americans, on the healthcare segment and the entire U.S. economy during the next 2 years. What can be done to fix or replace it? I don't want to replace it. I want it in a shredder. I want the states to do this and local people. Then it's the other portion, Obamacare derails, 4.2 million existing policies are canceled, 3.1 million left uninsured. So it goes into this, Obamacare damages healthcare segment and the U.S. economy, you think, and then talks about the vendors. And they have the intro, and they have this like tons of stuff. One is portions are written in the blue section and the others are in the white section. And I'm telling you, I'll give you a rundown. The white column content is the 4 false promises of Obamacare, the fork in the road, the objectives for a new healthcare system, alternatives to Obamacare, and rethinking America. And the blue column is pretty crazy. It's the early warning signs of failure, the policies that were canceled, the 4.2, Obama wins 2 liar awards. Genesis government created healthcare problems. Yes. Obamacare's impact on the nation's providers. Obamacare's impact on medical technology vendors. National impact of Obamacare, the healthcare.gov website, and what a debacle that is. The affordability of Obamacare policies, which is not, and the heart attack scenario. So let me just get a couple of these. And then I would encourage people to call in because we still have 25, 24 minutes left, and I want to welcome everyone that's in the guests. So this is the Obamacare damages healthcare segment and the U.S. economy. And the early warning signs of failure were, there are already clear signs of the coming failure. The bullet points below list them. One is young Americans are rejecting it. First of all, for Obamacare to work, the program needed 38% of new subscribers to be young people willing to pay at least twice as much as it would have cost them to previously be insured privately. If they sign up, they get higher out-of-pocket expenses and co-payments than with the previously available private insurance. America's youth recognize that Obamacare is a sucker deal, so they aren't going for it. Instead, youth groups are forming to oppose Obamacare, which is particularly resonant with the 40% of college graduates who are having trouble finding good jobs and income to repay their student loans and not looking to pay 2 to 4 times as much for insurance they feel they don't need in the first place. Without the youth demographic, Obamacare policy costs for older Americans will escalate to the point they become far higher or unaffordable, and the program will collapse. Second point, low total enrollment. The administration needed 7.5 million folks to sign up. But by December 29th, only 1.1 million had signed up or at least gone to the website, but 4.2 million had their private policies involuntarily terminated by Obamacare. These previously insured Americans, like 89% of all Americans, were happy with their insurance that they got, that the government legislated out of existence, in direct contradiction to Obama's promise. Stupid schmuck. Okay. Third point, businesses canceled.
A little nice for my taste, you know?
Yeah,
calling them a schmuck.
Businesses cancel employer health care benefits. Third, since it was passed in March 2009, Obamacare has caused many businesses to discontinue health care as a benefit, resulting in 29 million people who had health care insurance through their employer before Obamacare was passed to lose it, coupled with 22 million who had no insurance, which Obamacare was supposedly crafted for, another lie, as of September 2013, plus the 4.2 million whose policies were canceled, the total uninsured total over 55 million Americans. Obamacare is a huge step backwards because it is rapidly increasing the ranks of the uninsured and the angry. Let's see. It says the other part says 40.2 million insured policies canceled, others to follow. If your insurance hasn't been canceled yet, it's only because your company has more than 50 employees. Your time comes next fall because the employer mandate kicks in January 2015. And then the other last point is Obamacare offering inferior insurance. Obamacare is simply lipstick on a pig. Medicaid insurance for the poor that is now being gussied up and involuntarily forced upon the middle class Americans by federal regulations written by the executive branch of the government. None of the 11,588,000 words of new health care regulations were passed by Congress. Every word was written exclusively by the Department of Health and Human Services to Obama's specifications or by a lobbyist to support their special interests. The executive branch was responsible for all of the broken promises. Therefore, this can't have been unintentional. You can be absolutely sure that if Obama had meant to allow Americans to keep their existing insurance, the regulations would have been written very differently, and Obama would have supported the bill passed by the House to restore canceled policies rather than threatening to veto it. His team were responsible for every one of those of the 11,588 words of new regulations. Welcome to Obama land. So what do you think? And you guys go ahead and call in. I got 20 minutes left. Love to hear from you. 646-378-0321. Go ahead and welcome everybody to the chat room.
This is crazy, you know?
I know.
Everybody's getting kicked off their insurance. Nobody can afford Obamacare. And Obama keeps putting off certain parts of it, like the individual mandate he's put off again.
Right. Oh, I know. Yeah. There's a few people in Congress who say that they're unhappy with what he's doing, but I don't see anything happening. I don't think they're going to do anything to him. I don't see it happening. It's been, what, 5.5 years?
Yeah. The Democrats want it, and
yep.
the Republicans just want it to all be in their lap, so they won't freaking do anything about it. And I was going to say your communist friend, and I use that term historically. But you should ask him if he knows what the Holodomor was.
The which one?
The Holodomor. Kind of like the Russian Holocaust. It's where they basically starved everybody in the Ukraine and whatnot.
Oh, okay. I know what you – that's the kulaks, the little – I read that whole thing in it was just – basically, he was talking, he called them the kulaks in the Ukraine. They were the farmers. They were the families that owned this land and farmed it. And he forbade them to even come near it, even if they were starving. And they did starve. That whole area of the Ukraine was starved to death or shot within 1 year. And it was about 4 to 5 million people. And that was before his reign of terror started. Isn't that special? Yeah, oh, no, these people don't know anything. They don't know how to read other than the garbage that is put out by the progressives talking about, you know, carbon emissions and global this and global that, you know. That's who they listen. They suck up the Kool-Aid, but do you think they'd read anything that's, you know, written by the other side? look, at least I read the other side, okay, so that I know where it's coming from. They won't do that. They think we're nuts, and several people, I'm sure, were saying that about me yesterday, but I don't care, because I told the one guy, I gave him about a 6-paragraph email and told him, I know who you are. I know what you're doing. This was predetermined. This was a stakeholder meeting. You guys facilitated it quite well, and all your questions were geared towards the outcome you wanted. I said, I will fight you, and I will expose you all the time from here on out. And I did. I actually told him, I says, I know about the UN. I said, they're a bunch of petty little dictators. I gave him a little history lesson, too. I said, I told him, it used to be called the League of Nations. I says, that's when Colonel Mandel House was whispering into Wilson's ear about it. And then he went on a whistle stop all over the country, but the country wasn't buying it. And then they sold it to him after World War II because they had 2 world wars. People were sick of wars. So that's how they snuck that in. And then here we are with these schmucks, and they got their treaties. They have no business taking away our freedoms and our Constitution. So that's basically where I'm at. So anybody want to weigh in, please call. So go ahead, Travis.
And like I said, like I was talking about the Holodomor, who do you think all those people in the Ukraine were? Like I, it's also what I said about the Polish who went back to Russia,
right,
and exterminated. Who do they think those people were? They were part of the party. They were part of the Communist Party. See, people who are in favor of this stuff, in favor of Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is all about, you know, do it all for the Earth. We need to thin out. No. I mean, and they actually say this out loud. That we need
I know
thin
what
out
they say.
Then we need to thin out the human population so that the Earth can survive. And they keep warning us, you know. They keep warning us. Look at history.
I know.
It's not us. It's not us that's going to die. They're not going to come after us.
Well, they might, but or they might threaten. But here's the thing. When you look at the history of it, I know the Night of the Long Knives, and I know that there was, you know, anybody who they want to off in a totalitarian regime that has guns to people's heads, that's what's going to happen. What I see with this Agenda 21, they were so disingenuous all the way through. All the guys who started this, the Maurice Strongs, the Alexander Kings, they are completely adamantly against private property rights, private property ownership. This is the antithesis of freedom and the antithesis of our founding. This is the polar opposite of what James Madison fought for and always talked about, that because under the tyrannical stuff of King George in England, you had no private property unless you were a noble or a lord, or maybe, you know, if you were so lucky to be deemed that person.
If you weren't, you had property.
Yeah, you were SOL. Forget about it. So, again, I got about, 12, 13 minutes left. Anybody call in if you want, weigh in on this stuff and see what you think about what the meeting that I went to and what Sandag is trying to do, which is all part of it. The problem is they cannot connect the dots because they haven't done their homework, and they don't see that these transportation elements, the roundabouts, the evil bike lanes, and the, you know, they want to take the lanes away from people. They want to make it harder for you to be in your car. They don't want you in your car. They want you to not travel because then you cannot escape them. That's part of it. And they want you off the farms, off the rural lands. I read to you about the Delta Smelt, what they're doing to, and they've been doing for the last 4 years up in the Central Valley. It's heinous. It's absolutely tyrannical and nuts. There's no logic to this. Cannot connect the dots. It's all Agenda 21, every damn bit of it. I mean, it's crazy. And they don't get it. I tried to tell them. Go ahead.
No one would have even known that freaking Delta Smelt was there unless they did this crap.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, this was part of their – they're doing the same thing in the northern section, which is with the coho salmon up in Siskiyou County. They're lying about that. So there's some constitutional sheriffs and Oath Keeper sheriffs up there. John Lopey's one of them. They're fighting this because they said that that these salmon are not indigenous to this area. They've lied about it, and they're doing their Agenda 21 to get people off the land and keep the natural resources away from us. That's what they're doing. They're taking water, fresh water, and dumping it in the ocean. Now, what sane person does this except a dictator, except a totalitarian statist? Nobody. That's me.
We're sanding our beaches. We're replenishing sand on the beach. Replenishing water in our oceans. But come on.
Yeah, it's crazy. In the meanwhile, we have this horrible drought. I think I got about 9.5 minutes. You guys, come on, call in. We'd love to hear your voice again today. Bill, Mikey, Ron, everybody. Anyway, so, yeah, the Clinton signed on to it. I know all about those things. So, he's not the only one. And then Barry, of course, he just thinks this is just right up his alley. Well, I'm sure it is because he's such a statist. But that's kind of been my week, guys. That's kind of where I'm at with everything that's happened. It's been wild. We did get a couple victories. One was the election of Kevin Faulkner against the La Raza union-based dude, which would be Alvarez. I can't remember his first name, but I think it was David Alvarez. Anyway, he lost, even though he had all that money behind him. So everybody was happy on the conservative side today. So that's kind of where we are in that deal. And then I was reading also in Solana Beach, they had a Proposition B, which helped the community because the teetotalers wanted to do a little mini version of prohibition. So they weren't allowing people to have more than a couple glasses of wine at this place. It's overlooking the beach. It's a great venue. People use it for private parties. And so the public finally got it together and got it on the ballot, and they won so they can have their little parties. I mean, it's crazy. Hang in there a second. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, Linda. Great show tonight.
Thank you. I just wanted everyone to get the feeling of what has been coming at us here in San Diego. And look, it's in your town, too. And, of course, the Obamacare, I had to talk about that. But what do you think about that Sandag trying to tell you where how many cars you're going to have, where you can go, and what time of day? Isn't that nice?
I mentioned a little bit about this last night. I talked about it in depth before about how under Agenda 21 they will do away with private ownership of vehicles.
Oh, yeah. That's what this is heading to. And this is – they don't put the dates on it, but it's between now and 2030, and then they've got their 2050 vision mode, you know. And go ahead.
Is the government going to be exempt from that?
Of course they are. All these elitists. People like you and me. Well, no, they want it, Cal, they want California to look not like New York City, but more like Miami or worse. And then, yeah, they've got these ugly light rail things. There's no way that people are going to be able to fit on those stupid things. Nobody wants them, the majority of the people. And the problem with what I see, Bill and Travis and everybody out there, this is what makes me so angry, and this is what these people don't understand. Why do they want to put a gun to my head? And these were the people advocating, like that idiot that I had it out with. They want no choice on my part. They want to force me, by force, to do their bidding or go along with their program, whether I want it or not. I mean, does this make sense to you? Is that living freely? Is that a free society? It's not free to me.
That's
they want a totally controlled
society.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure. So did Stalin, and he had it. That's why do you think I scream? Why do you think I actually go to these meetings and put myself through this? Because if I can get one or two people out of this that will be awakened, I've done my job for the day. Now, that's just
right.
Me.
Every county has a comprehensive plan.
Yep.
Research the county's comprehensive plan, people. Know what they are planning for you. And then look at who the names are that signed on to that plan.
Exactly. And you know what else, Bill? I challenge anybody, whether you're in Indiana or Florida or New York or anywhere else, Georgia, any place, California, whether you're in San Francisco or Vista or Oceanside, you go to every single one of those towns or Idaho, pick one. And if you know that they've got a general plan and you start looking side by side to about three or four of them and you see the only difference in it is the names of the streets and the towns because of the indigenous area, it's because it's all written by ICLEI. And then that'll open your eyes up. And then you start tracing it back to who's doing what. This goes all the way to that Rio summit. And you and I know that. But this is what people don't understand. I challenge anyone to do that, man. I mean, I've seen these plans. I've been to Escondido's council meetings. I've been to Vista's council meetings and these vision plans and their predetermined Delphi stakeholder meetings in other cities. Oh, yeah, they're all run the same. It's just different streets, names, and different towns. That's all you're dealing with because they're all chock full. I come on at 7 p.m. Eastern, and today I'm only on for an hour. Because I've got a client I have to bring food to, so I got about 3 minutes.
How'd that go yesterday?
Oh, you didn't hear about the meeting part. You're going to have to go back to the archives at the top of the show.
Okay.
Yeah, or still the middle of the show. Yeah, it was amazing. I at least got my information out to several people, and they started looking at this, and they were appalled at what they were seeing, and they asked my friend who was helping me do this, where did you get this? And she said, from Sandag's own website. And they go, really? And I said, yes. Go look it up yourself because this will shock you. This is what this is about. That's what this meeting you're standing in is all about, my dear. And so I'm praying that one or two of them will actually go and check it out. So
that's all you can do, man,
is show it. I mean, you can't make them drink it, but you can at least wake them up and get their attention.
Yeah.
And I did. Thank God. I at least got some of them. So, I want to thank everybody. I've got a couple minutes left. Bill, Ron, Hot Seat, Mike. Don't forget, Mikey's on tomorrow. I think you're on it. Oh, God, are you 9 p.m.? Tell me, Mike. Type it in. I'm a James Madison guy. I'm a Thomas Jefferson guy for sure. So, type in, Mikey, what you're doing tomorrow. I'll try to get it done in the morning to get your show out there on Patriot Families and everything else. Let's see. Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, so that's the next one. Okay, so you're not doing tomorrow. Got it. And I'm so sorry I missed yesterday, but I had to do that meeting. And I, like I said, I still have about a couple minutes left, and I'm going to ask Travis to give his last thoughts, and then I'll go to Bill, and then we'll wrap it. Go ahead, Travis.
Like I always say, good, better, best. Never rest. America's better, and God is her best.
Yeah, and God's in charge. You betcha. Still on the throne. Thank you. God bless you. And Bill?
I just want to say that Linda's doing what all the rest of us need to do. Spreading the truth, getting it out there, awakening the public. You continue it, Linda. I'm taking the message to the biker organizations out there. And that's all we can do. Give it our best.
You know what, Bill? Since it's internet-based, you can go to Sandag yourself and pull it up and find that something. It's called the activity-based model portion. You can pull that up and show them what they're planning on doing. So thank you for calling in, everybody, and thank everybody, Ron, Mike, all the people that were in, Cal, because she's gone, the guests, definitely. Not Lolo, and we're going to wrap it in about 50 seconds. They're going to probably push me off here. So anyway, I don't have any music to go to. Well, I do. I can pull it down, but it's hard because my chat room got messed up. I don't know what happened. But I definitely want to say to you guys, thank you, God bless, and we'll see you for Terry's show tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern. Good night, everybody.
keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my...